Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of Ephesians. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Well, this morning, why don't you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. You know, Paul oftentimes speaks about the mystery, and it's really not kind of the same way we see the word mystery. We see the word mystery a little bit differently. We see it as something, you know, just hidden and hard to find and, you know, just kind of in a shroud of, you know, something that's just hard to see. But that's not really what this, it means something that's been revealed, something previously hidden, but now is revealed. And so when he's talking about the mystery, it's something that once was hard to see, but now is open and available and something that can be seen. So when we read the word mystery, because we're going to kind of talk about that a little bit today, that would be something that really is revealed presently and was in Paul's time when he was using that term. But remember, in Paul's time, his mindset as a Pharisee, as a Jewish man, his understanding of the Gentile world was that the Gentile world, which would be probably all of us, except for maybe some of you might have some kind of Jewish heritage, I don't know. But if you do not, then you are a Gentile. And if you are a Gentile, if that's your history, which is most of our history, if that's who we are. In their culture, they thought that the Gentiles were only good for firewood, basically, for the fires of hell. That was their mentality as Jewish people. They considered themselves to be very fortunate that they were Jewish people, that they had access to God, but they were the only ones that had access to God. That was their mindset. So in that, I think it's good to know that that's Paul's mindset in the past. That's his history as a Jewish religious leader, and this was his way of thinking and the way he viewed the world. Now, he meets Jesus Christ and everything changes. His view of the world, his view of humanity, his view of the Gentiles, his view of the Jewish people, his view of everything changes. His view of God changes. It becomes a personal relationship now. He understands that. He starts to, but he's got a great working knowledge of the scripture as God reveals himself through the person of his son, Jesus Christ, to Paul. And as he's revealed, this whole new understanding starts to happen. And he says, "For this reason, I," in verse 1, "Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you." And so he says in those first two verses, kind of gives the reason that really he is even incarcerated. It's because he's incarcerated because he's been proclaiming the gospel to the Gentile people. And this is why he's chased out of every city. He's chased out because the Jewish people usually get the whole culture fired up most of the time because they hate him because he's come against them in their mindset. And so he knows how they're thinking. He knows what's going on. He knows what's happening. But he says, for this reason, the reason of the fact that God created now one people group out of both people groups, one people group, the church, the body of Christ, has now been taken out of both people groups. Any of those who would call upon the name of the Lord, whether they're Jewish or whether they're Gentile, God now puts together and unifies and calls it the body of Christ, the church. That was God's eternal plan. That was what he purposed to do. We read that through the Old Testament. The term of the Gentiles and the terminology there was used oftentimes in that they were going to be included, that they are going to be a part of the kingdom also ultimately. And so as we see this, Paul's just saying, for this reason, that's the reason being that there is now one new people group, the body of Christ, and this is what he's talking about, this is what he's serving, is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's trying to reach people with the gospel, that good news that the doors are open. The curtain got rent from top to bottom. It meant open house, man. Direct access for all humanity to the person of Jesus Christ, to God. Direct access. Powerful, powerful truth. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner. Now, I think it's interesting. He is a prisoner, possibly of Caesar Nero. He's a prisoner of the Roman government. Yes, true. But that's not the way Paul sees it. Paul sees himself as a prisoner of Christ. He sees himself as Jesus' prisoner for a purpose, because he's outreaching the Gentile people, because he's spreading the gospel. This is why he's incarcerated. I guess the question really comes up is, really, whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, the trial, the difficulty, and I think a lot of people feel them like they're incarcerated in their job circumstance, or they're incarcerated in their marriage, or they're incarcerated in their family, or they're incarcerated in whatever their circumstance. Some people feel that way, that they're just bound to this thing, and it's just like a living jail cell. And that's, you know, God has allowed whatever circumstances in any of our lives. I'll probably get some notes about that, about the marriage one. Now, I'm not saying that anybody here should be thinking that. I'm just saying that people sometimes think that way. They become so, you know, balled up and bound up in their circumstances, they feel, you know, trapped is the point, or incarcerated. And I think here Paul is making this statement. He's not saying he's a prisoner of the Roman government. He's not saying he's a prisoner of Caesar Nero. He's not saying that. He understands who is ultimately in authority. And truly, Paul, of anybody, he's been in and out of jail so many times. He was in and out of jail regularly. As a believer, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he was in and out of jail regularly. Now, not because he was, you know, dealing drugs, or not because he was, you know, it's not because he had, you know, unpaid traffic tickets or anything else. That's not why he was in and out of jail. He was in and out of jail simply because of the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because of sharing the gospel itself. His perspective, though, in this situation was that God has allowed this. God knows exactly where he is. God knows how to set him free. He sat in jail cells. You remember reading in Acts 16 where, you know, all of a sudden the doors come flying open. There's an earthquake, and he's in Philippi, and he's down in the dungeon in Philippi. And all of a sudden the earth starts moving. The doors come flying open, and they walk out. You know, he knows God can liberate him at any time God wants to. He sees himself as God's servant, and he knows that God knows exactly what's happening in his life, and that he trusts God with whatever his circumstances are. I think that's so important. It's a perspective. How do you see your situation? And he says this whole idea of what has happened, that this everyone being able to be brought into one family unit, the church, the body of Christ, out of the two people groups of the world, he said, is all because of the dispensation of the grace of God. And he says, this was given to me, this understanding. And I think this is important. If you'll note this, I kind of put a square box with a very fine-tipped pen around part of this, just because I think if you look at it, he says, which was given to me, and I put to me, a little box around to me. That was entrusted to me. That was entrusted to you as a believer. As a follower of Jesus Christ, something was entrusted to you. And that same dispensation, we're living in the time where grace is being poured out. God's grace is available to all who would call upon the name. That unmerited love and favor is available to all who would call upon the name of God. It's available. But it was given to me, and it was given to you, that grace, that understanding that God loves you, that God's got a purpose and plan for your life. That's what's been given to us, that God is willing to forgive us. But I like this. It was given to me, that dispensation of this time, that grace of God was given to me, and it says for you. I believe that for you is also for you. Not just from me to you, but it's given to me for those around who may not know Jesus Christ, and for those who know the Lord. So there's two things. We get to be encouragers. We get to be people that say and do things that can be edifying to our brothers and sisters, those who know Jesus Christ. So That's to those who are of the family of God, and to then those who are outside that don't know Jesus Christ. So when Paul initially is sharing with them, they don't know the Lord. And as he shares with these people, he's been given that grace, that hope that there is in Jesus Christ, that unmerited love and favor, that forgiveness of sin, that's not through the sacrifice of animals anymore. Paul understood this whole process, what it was like to try to get to God and how to try to live righteously. He said, concerning the law, blameless, as far as, you know, the religious world would see him. He was blameless. I mean, none of us are going to talk that way, but he lived that kind of a life. Now, he knew what the rigor that he went through, and still he knew deep down inside he was lacking fulfillment. And yet God made himself known to him. He understood that grace then that was given to him. And now as that grace was given to him, it wasn't just given to him so that, hey, I'm saved, this is great. I've got everlasting life, awesome. But it's given to me, or to you individually, for others. That's what it says here. He says, it was given to me for you. And I think it's so important to remember that that which was given to us that we might extend that out and be utilized externally. This is the thing. If we don't have an outlet, if you and I aren't engaged in communicating the gospel with others, there's no outlet in our life. We're not just allowing God to move through us in these ways. If there's no outlet, what happens is we become a stagnant pond. Any lake that's got an inlet and it's got an outlet. And that keeps the water coming in. It's fresh coming in, and it's got an outlet. So it's got some kind of a flow to it that keeps the water good. It allows for the fish life and all the things to exist well. And so if not, all that happens is it becomes dammed up, and the water, anything coming in, it just sits in there, and it just goes into a pool of stagnant stuff. And this is what happens. We can get stagnant thinking. We start only thinking about ourselves. We only think, well, you know, the thing is I don't know if I really like that praise song very good. You know, that doesn't minister to me. I don't really care for that. Why do they play like this? You know, why don't they play this way? Or, we come up with all these things in our mind. I don't like this, or I don't like that. You know what? Is this about, are you singing to you? We're supposed to be worshiping the one true living God. You know, and from our hearts, we're just joining in unison, just worshiping the Lord. I mean, that's really, the focus is not on me or my likes or dislikes of it. My focus is really to be, you know, exalting the Lord, to be praising God for his goodness and his grace. And so I find, man, I'm able to worship in, you know, a lot of different settings. And I mean, I'm in situations sometimes where I don't even know the words they're saying because I don't know the language. And that's no joke. But I'm still able to enter into worship because my focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ. And because I know that grace that was been shown to me for those where I'm at, for them. The idea of dispensation can get into that's really a Bible study in and of itself. There's like 8 main dispensations that have been given through the scriptures. And one of them is the dispensation of God's grace that we're living in that period now. There's going to be a time where the age of the Gentiles, there will be that one last person that gets saved, the word says, that gives their life to Jesus Christ, and that age closes. It's like a chapter. It's like that chapter of the book will be finished. Oh my, what a thought, huh? There's going to be that one last person that gives their life to Jesus Christ, and that chapter closes. And that opens up another age, another time period. A dispensation really is segments of or chunks of time. And again, there's 8 main chunks of time that we see in Scripture, all revealing, and I don't get all hung up on all this stuff. I mean, I don't get all, because you can go way, some people have gone so far over, and you gotta be careful when you're doing studying on this so you don't get lost in all. Some people have gotten so heady about it, and so that they've broken it down into all these micro things, and so really, well, that was the time when the Spirit, you know, was given, but now the Spirit's not being, because now we have these institutions, we have Bible colleges, we have schools, we have this ability, the canonization of scripture has taken place. So now we can get the word out. I'm giving you more information you need. I know that. But for some of you who've studied in or looked into this a little bit more or come across it, at least you'll have a right perspective when you get to it. You can't get hung up on all that stuff because now you're going to miss the whole thing. There's big chunks of time where God is revealing himself to man in certain ways that ultimately he might lead to this kind of a time period in which we live now, where the Spirit's being poured out and grace is being made available. I love the thought that grace is, aren't you thankful that we've got a message of hope? You know, I have walked on beaches in Thailand, for example, walked on the beach with this one gal who is holding hands with her one little boy. And as we're walking down the beach, I'm with an interpreter and we're talking with her and she's really spun, really dazed and spun out. And it was right after the tsunami had hit. It was like within the first week after the tsunami had hit a number of years ago over there. And we're walking down the beach and we're just talking with her, trying to see if we could help her because she looked pretty, you know, wiped out, you know. And we're visiting with her and she says, well, and she starts telling her story. And she's only got the one, but she had two little boys, but she couldn't hang on to both of them. They got caught up in the current and she couldn't hang on to both of them. And lost one of them. And so she's wandering the beach looking for her boy. Now, think about that. I can't even fathom that, the heartache of that. And so we're talking, and you know, all I can do is really through the interpreter pray with her and encourage her that there's hope, that God knows where she's at and God loves her. Now think about this. This is why I go, is because that's what I get to do. I get to minister hope and encouragement in the Lord. Because there's got to be something that counteracts the other things that are going on there. I watched and listened in as the interpreter was explaining what the Buddhist priest was telling somebody in a situation like that. Not Judas Priest, the Buddhist priest. That's for you older folks that know some of the band. Anyway, got to keep it light every once in a while because it's kind of serious stuff. But the idea of what happened was that the Buddhist priests were going around telling them, hey, look at man. It's because they didn't talk like that. They're a little more different. But they're talking like this. They're saying, yeah, look, it's because you've brought this bad vibe on yourselves because of the way you've been living. You've created this situation. And so now there's, you know, it's bad karma is what they're telling them, basically. And that's why this is happening. So basically, a Buddhist priest would basically be telling this lady that it's her fault and her culture's fault that this has happened to her not being able to hang on to her child in a natural disaster. So this is why I find it so important and so significant that we go in those situations. Now, that's on the other side of the world. This stuff happens all over the place. What is my friend Ed Taylor supposed to do with the situation, the pastor over there in Aurora? You know, this is all he has to share is the hope that there is in Jesus Christ in the midst of tragedy. You know, it's pretty obvious we live in a messed up world when things like this go on, right? I mean, there's not a question about that. But there's no reason to overly focus on the messed up world because that's just the outworking of a messed up world, a fallen world. So we want to focus on, hey, there's hope, you know, in God. There's hope to be found in Jesus Christ. And so that's the ministry we've been entrusted with, ministry of grace. I believe judgment is coming. You know, I believe ultimately judgment's coming on this world. I've read through the Bible, and at the end, that's what it says. There's judgment coming on this world for a Christ-rejecting world. Those who are, it's just by and large, resist the work of God, and so judgment's ultimately come. But that's part of the message we have, but the other part of the message is grace is available today. So why wouldn't you take grace? Because it's available. Ultimately, yeah, maybe judgment is coming for sure. That's a case. But take grace. It's available today. That's the message we have. And it's a positive, good, encouraging word that we get to share with other people. That's what Paul's saying. It's been given to me. It's been given to you for the others that you are connected to. That it's been given to you to give to others. And I think that's so important. And Paul clearly states that here. And he says, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery. And remember, we mentioned that earlier, the mystery. Something previously hidden, now made clear. He made known the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. And this is that thing being unveiled right here, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promises in Christ through the gospel. So that's the mystery that gets unveiled, that access, oh, it's open house. Everybody can come. They can be a part of the same body, assembly, the same family, and be partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. You remember Peter said, the angels of old looking in long to, and even presently watch as they gather amongst us and they look in at this gathering in the spirit realm, the angelic beings looking in, watching you and I, looking at this and just how does this happen? God actually moves through this guy. God uses these people. To them, that is like, not in their perspective, you got to understand, they're created worshiper beings, you know, that just see things very differently. And yet they looking in and just say, man, this grace of God, what a great, great truth. And he says, of which, in verse 7, I became a minister or servant according to the gift of grace, of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. Man, that is so important to note, that it's God at work in you. So sometimes we think, you know, oh, Pastor Jim keeps talking about, well, you know, we need to be open. We need to be sharing our faith. We need to be out there with it as far as that goes, you know. I understand when I'm saying this, I'm not saying it's up to you to do something. I'm saying it's up to you to be open to God doing something. Quite different things are happening when it's shared that way. What I'm saying is that letting God say, God, I'm your servant. I'm here. I'm willing to do what you want to do. Because it really is the effective working of his power. That's really what it's about. It's not about you and me doing anything. Some people ask when we go places, you know, they say, oh, well, are you, you know, you try, this is, you know, unbelievers. Are you trying to make converts? Well, I can honestly say no, because I know I can convert no one. You know, so I can honestly say no. I said, oh, I'm sure hoping to share what I know about a friend type thing. I try and lighten it a little bit. Because I know that none of us can, we can't make converts. Only the Holy Spirit can make a convert. That's the only way that we can be converted, is by being born again, right? And only the Holy Spirit. That's the effective working of his power. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for listening today. I know as God's word goes out, it accomplishes the purposes for which he sent it. And I know that sometimes we hear a message like today's message and the Lord really starts to tug on our hearts. And if God's tugging on your heart and you've not been walking with the Lord and you want to get close with the Lord, or you want to start a new life with Jesus, it's just a simple prayer away. You know, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, without the Lord, we're already perishing. We're perishing in our sin. We need a Savior. We need help. And, you know, I know you know that. I know you're hearing that. I know you're sensing that. And this is your opportunity to call out to the Lord and ask him to be your personal Lord and Savior. So I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a relationship, getting to know someone by introduction. And so this is an introduction. I want to introduce you to my friend Jesus, and he wants to make himself real to you. He loves you. He loves this world, and he loves you personally. He knows how many hairs you have on your head or how few you have. He knows what color they are. He knows the color of your eyes. He knows how tall you are. He knows everything about you. The Bible says that he loves you with a perfect love, and he wants you to believe on him and have everlasting life, that you can spend all eternity with him. If you would, just pray this simple prayer of faith with me. Jesus, I want to open up my heart to you. Lord, I want to have everlasting life. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. I humble myself before you, Lord. I know I need you. I know that I've fallen short and sinned in many ways and many areas of my life. And so I ask that you would just come in and make my life new. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for everlasting life that now is mine in you. I ask that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I might walk with you and have life abundant. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus Christ.